Good morning and welcome once again to Twin Steeples Podcast. My name is Pastor Joe Nauman. This is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church, and I'm gathered here today with Pastor Neil Radical and with Vicar Drew Nauman here at 421 North 2nd Street in Mankato, Minnesota. How are you guys doing today?
Good to have you back.
Yeah, it's good to be back. So today we'll be starting with a devotion based on Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, which reads like this. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. There's a lot to unpack in this short little verse, and yet I think it's a wonderful reminder to us during these difficult and trying times when there's lots to worry us, lots to be anxious about, whether you're talking about the virus, of course, which is on everyone's mind, but also the unrest that our country is facing in this election year. What a wonderful reminder that we can always turn to the Lord, run to the Lord, and that He is the one who protects us. So what do you think it means when it says there that the name of the Lord is a strong tower and the righteous run to it and are safe? Let's ponder in our minds a little bit what each one of these terms means. So we'll come back to the name of the Lord in a little bit. What does it mean that the Lord is a strong tower?
Well, I think you have Solomon recording these words by the Spirit of the Lord, and as a son of David, you know, he was used to singing the psalms and praises, so I wonder if he had in his mind Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So that strong tower is almost like a lighthouse, a beacon of hope, a beacon of safety, like a young child running to his or her father, in the sense of you have that feeling of comfort, safety, a place to dwell, and a place to find peace. And that's how I look at this verse, is that strong tower of the Lord is, Christ is our refuge, our Heavenly Father is our strength. You know, the Spirit continues to provide us that peace in our day-to-day life. So it's more of a spiritual tower and strength than a physical tower. Certainly can be a physical tower, but more of a spiritual nature.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the Psalms there, Neil, because what jumps to my mind is Psalm 27, the Lord will hide you in His pavilion. He will set you upon a high rock. It's pretty applicable to our lives. I grew up out on the West Coast, and we had drills every year during school. They're called Lahar drills because we never knew when a volcano was going to explode. So we had to, all the kids in the school would just run uphill. You'd find whatever hill, and you would run uphill because you wanted to get to higher ground, because that's where you're safe in the cases of a mud flow or a flood or anything of that nature. And that's kind of what I think about with the tower throughout history. Higher ground has just been safe, and the Lord is the safest of refuges and the highest of ground. So
that's a good explanation, guys. But what does it mean when it says the righteous run to it? Who is the righteous? Obviously, when we need to understand this correctly, because if we think of our own lives, we know that we aren't righteous on our own. So how do we understand it here when it says the righteous run to it? Because that's not you and I by nature.
I believe the righteous are the ones who fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, as Proverbs reminds us. And the idea of the righteous are the ones who seek the Lord, know where that tower is, know where their comfort is, know the name of the Lord. It really comes back to knowing the God who's going to help them of all the other gods in the world that aren't real. We continue to go back to the name of the Lord, who is our strength, who is our comfort. So the righteous is the one who believes in the true God, believes in that forgiveness that Joe was just talking about, and runs to Him for that mercy, for that strength, and for that comfort.
Yeah, and even then recognizing that that running and that believing in Christ that saves us, that is our refuge, that's not even something that we do, because no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So even coming to Jesus is an act of mercy and grace on His part towards us sinful people. So once again, emphasizing the strength of the Lord and His mercy towards we who were His enemies by nature, that He is now our strength and our refuge instead.
Right, and also adding to that the idea that because we are, the reason we are righteous is, of course, because of the righteousness of Christ, you know, and that's the gospel emphasis that you were mentioning there, Drew, is that the reason we can run to the Lord is simply because of what Christ has done for us in the first place. And of course, we run to the tower of the cross, and that's why we are known as righteous before God. When God looks at us, He sees us as His saints, not as the sinners that we are, but as the saints that He has made us through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. Last little part there, so the righteous run to it and are safe. So that means that if, as Christians, that we can always run to the Lord and then we'll be safe from all physical harm and danger. And of course, no Christian has ever faced physical harm and danger in the history of the world as we know because they turned to the Lord.
False.
False. Right. Why is that false?
We, through many tribulations, must enter the kingdom of God. So we might expect more persecution. We might expect more dangers. We might expect to be tested as God's children to continue to rely and trust in Him. And so the safety, again, is that spiritual peace we have in the Lord. And yeah, He's going to watch over us. He's not going to let anything happen to us apart from His will. He sends angels to take charge over us as well. But again, we might look at negative things in our life as a way of testing, and God wants us to endure those tests so that we can glorify His name even in the worst situations we face in life, like Job or Paul or David or anybody else from the Bible that trusted in the Lord and looked to the Lord. You know, Paul said, I mean, when you were just describing that, Joe, you made me think of, is that Hebrews 12 or Romans 12 that says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So as we run that race, we're focused on that tower, focused on that rock that we have in Christ.
Yeah, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. That doesn't mean that everything that God sends us is going to be easy or pleasant, but that salvation talked about here in this verse is the highest good, our eternal salvation that God is chiefly concerned about. So while it might not always be sunshine and daisies, but rather hardships and tribulations, like Neil, you talked about, we can know that God is always working it towards our eternal salvation rather than focusing on our physical comfort. And we can thank Him every day for that.
Wonderful answer, guys. I always think of the world in kind of two different phases, right? There's two realms of this world. There's the physical and there's the spiritual. And of course, the Lord wants to protect us physically, and He does in many ways and blesses us here in our nation, this free nation we live in. But that, there's not a guarantee in Scripture that we will always physically be saved, but there is a guarantee in Scripture that He will protect us spiritually. It's that spiritual realm that is God's main concern in our lives, is keeping our hearts and our souls continue to plug into Jesus. And that's what He's going to promise to always keep safe, that He'll never let us down. And this trust that we've been promised and trusted to Him, He will continue to protect and guide. Why don't we pray? Lord Heavenly Father, we thank and bless You once again for the wonderful love You showed for us through Your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that You would continue to remind us of this strong tower, this impenetrable barrier that You have made for You, for all people. Lord, though the devil may shoot his fiery darts at it, he can do nothing, no harm to it, because of Your name, because of Your strength, because of Your will, in order to protect those righteous believers who trust and believe in You by faith in the working of the Holy Spirit in their hearts. Lord, fulfill Your promise to continue to keep all believers safe in Your name, and lead us all to that wonderful tower in heaven. In Your name we pray. Amen. Number of announcements to get to today in our weekly agenda here at Emmanuel. First of all, we continue our Bible study this evening, our online Bible study with the book of Hosea. Vicar Drew Nauman will be leading that study. Anything you want to preview for us on that study of Hosea tonight?
Sure. Should have received an email now from the Emmanuel Bulletin. I know some people were having some difficulty opening up the worksheet for that when I originally sent it out, so hopefully everyone has that at this point. If you have the chance to flip through the first couple of chapters and maybe the first few questions there, there's only like 3 questions per chapter, so hoping to move at a pretty decent clip. I'm pretty excited. There's a list of themes in that worksheet packet that might be helpful to look over as we delve into the book of Hosea. The themes of chastisement, that the Lord punishes those He loves in order to bring them closer to Him, kind of what we were talking about with the trials and tribulations that we must go through. The Lord was sending Israel some trials and troubles to try to preserve their spiritual separateness, to keep their keep them spiritually pure among the heathen nations. Also repentance, that the Lord is continually trying to bring Israel to recognize the error of their ways and following false gods, and also calls to us to recognize the error in our ways and placing any distraction above our love of the Lord throughout our lives. So lots of things to talk about, and I'm pretty excited about it. I know it's going to be, it's been edifying for me to study this more and delve into it, and I hope to be able to share that with you and to learn with you guys as we work through it.
Wonderful. We're looking forward to that study, Drew, and thank you for all the work you put into that. Looking forward to seeing what comes of that. Next announcement we'd like to make is regarding the update in the church sanctuary. A couple weeks ago, the voters approved the painting of the walls in the sanctuary, and Pastor Radical has some updates for us on that.
Yeah, you should have gotten an email. They give you some sample colors of choices that went out in the last few days here. So if you want to take a look at that, you can kind of share your thoughts of which color you like the best. They're all very similar, but we're also looking for volunteers to help paint. That's also in that same form. If you don't like the pictures that are there, I'm sorry. It's kind of tough to get good pictures of that. But at the same point in time, you're always welcome to come in and, you know, kind of look at them in person. Just let us know when you want to come in, and we'll let you in if you don't have a key. So, yeah, hopefully after this next weekend, we'll make an announcement in the service that everybody can kind of walk up here one more time and look at it. And then next week, we'll hopefully get some paint and then get going on that paint, the painting next week. So there's that. There's a voters meeting was postponed 1 week, so it'll be the end of the month. So it'll be the last Monday of this month, and then more decisions will be made at that voters meeting, which the congregation is invited to come to. Please do come, as far as other updates, including flooring at that time and other things as well. So that's kind of the most recent update with the sanctuary.
I'll just say I couldn't tell the difference between those three colors that are in the church, but of course I'm colorblind and can't tell the difference anyway. But the next few weeks, the deacons have approved the concept of holding services in the gym. So tomorrow afternoon, we'll be holding a funeral service for our dear member, Janet Berry, who has passed into eternal life in heaven with the Lord, and we thank the Lord for that. But the service will be held in the gym. In the gym, we are able to run the air conditioner up until the time of the service, and that keeps the temperature down. The church is quite hot now, and as you know, we are not allowed to run the fan. The fan moves the particulates and the aerosols around the room and gives a greater chance for infection. So beginning tomorrow and also through potentially the next few weekends as well, we'll continue to hold all services in the gym. That'd be Saturday evening and also Sunday morning. Also, in connection with the prevention that we are doing with COVID-19, you probably heard that on Monday the Mankato City Council announced that all masks will be required in all indoor social events. So we have been requiring masks and services before, but now it is doubly required, not only by our deacons, but also by the Mankato City Ordinance. This church can be fined if people are not keeping to that ordinance. So please, we ask that all members continue the practice of wearing masks to the service as they have been doing before. With this in mind, let's move to our doctrine of the day. And this is where I want to come back to that idea of the name of the Lord. So when someone asks you what the name of the Lord is, how do you respond?
Well, the name of the Lord in the Old Testament, we transliterate it into the English word Jehovah. It's four Hebrew letters that literally, when the angel appeared to Moses in the burning bush, it means I am. It's from the verb to be, kind of a reference to God as the creator, the eternal one who was and is and will be forever. And the reverence held for that word, the name of the Lord, was so great that the Hebrew scholars and the Jewish scribes and rabbis throughout history, and even up till today, they won't say the word in Hebrew. They'll instead use the Hebrew word Adonai, which means master or Lord. So the reverence held for this word, this I am God, is so great that they won't even say it. And that kind of gives us sort of an idea of how important and how powerful our Lord is, this running to the name of God. And you can think of the different names of God, the Creator, the Redeemer, the Sanctifier, the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the things that He is and the things that He does. And that really gives us an idea of the different names that we run to when we recognize the blessings that He has given us in creating us, in redeeming us from our sins, in sanctifying our hearts and continually renewing us day to day, in being that promised anointed Christ, promise of old in the Garden of Eden after the fall into sin, and fulfilled in Jesus' death and resurrection. So there's a lot packed into that idea of the name of the Lord.
Good answer, Drew. You know, we also, this comes up not only in the study of the Ten Commandments, but also in the Lord's Prayer. We think of the second commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Understanding what the name of the Lord is very important for that commandment. And also in the Lord's Prayer, the first petition, which is, hallowed be thy name. So we understand the name of the Lord, as you mentioned there, to be Yahweh or Jehovah. Some people pronounce it Yahweh. But the way you can probably recognize it in your Bible easiest is when, if you use the New King James or many other versions, they will capitalize the whole word Lord. So if you see capital L-O-R-D, as it is in this passage, in the passage we're looking at today, Proverbs 18, verse 10, that is where we see that tetragrammaton, the Yahweh or Jehovah. Some translations go ahead and go with Jehovah, but many translations just say Lord. However, if you see a lowercase Lord, that's where it's using that the phrase Adonai, which is what the word that the Hebrews and the Jewish scholars use as a substitute there. But the name of the Lord is a very important thing for us, and especially as we understand the name of the Lord to really be everything that he uses to describe who he is and what he has done for us. And there's many different names of the Lord as recorded in Scripture. Of course, we can think of John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it is that there we see that the Word of God, Jesus Christ, becomes incarnate. And he really is the name of the Lord, and that is this strong tower to which we can run to for safety and for preservation, because, of course, it is Jesus who has won salvation for us and who keeps us safe in his wounds. So what a wonderful blessing that this name of the Lord has been revealed to us.
Just in connection with what you both said, I really appreciate that, and it really brings us back to the name Emmanuel, God with us, given to Jesus in Matthew 1 and Matthew 2 as we look at that. And then that connection to God being with us and this label given to Jesus just reminds me of our Proverbs 18 section, just to kind of tie it all together too, in the sense of that strong tower that we face, that we look to for our safety. And then I think of Acts 4. It's interesting that the apostles were saying, this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So, I mean, the name of the Lord is our cornerstone in Christ, is that rock, is that tower that gives us salvation, deliverance for eternal life.
And the name of the Lord is kind of the theme of one of the wonderful hymns in our hymnal that Vicar Drew Nauman came up with for us to close today. Vicar, would you like to read that for us?
Sure, I'm just going to be doing a few verses from Jesus' Name of Wondrous Love, which I think is at least partly, if not wholly, inspired by that section that you just read, Neil, so very timely. Jesus' Name of Wondrous Love, name all other names above, unto which must every knee bow in deep humility. Jesus' Name of Priceless Worth to the fallen sons of earth, for the promise that it gave, Jesus shall his people save. Jesus, only name that's given under all the mighty heaven, whereby man to sin enslaved bursts his fetters and is saved. Jesus, name of wondrous love, human name of God above, pleading only this we flee, helpless, O our God, to thee. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for listening to the Twin Steeples podcast. Appreciate you guys joining today, and we hope that you'll join us again next week. Again, we're a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church. Always remember, Emmanuel, God is with you.